Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. And this morning, I am full, and I am excited to preach to you this morning. We have been having some powerful services. Over the past 3 weeks, we started a sermon series called Hide and Seek. And today we'll be concluding that sermon series. But for the past 3 weeks, we have been talking about the importance of prayer. We talked about the importance of developing a relationship with God. Last week, we talked about what happens when you seek God with all your heart. The Bible says that if you seek Him diligently with all your heart, you will find Him. And over the past, the way I came up with the title Hide and Seek, like I mentioned, was when I was playing hide and seek with my baby boy. And, when parents play hide and seek with their children, it's a lot different from when children play hide and seek. Because when children play hide and seek, the whole purpose of the game is hide so that you cannot be found. But when a parent plays hide and seek with their children, part of the joy is hiding long enough to create that special moment where you jump out or they find you and they're able to say, Daddy, Mommy, I found you. And I liken it to pursuing God. I think that pursuing God is a lot like playing hide and seek because sometimes we're searching for God. Some of you came this morning, you are seeking God out, and you're in need of a word because you need God to direct your life. I got good news for you this morning. I believe that God has an answer for what you're going through. I believe that God has an answer for the next step you're supposed to take so that you can progress in life. So this morning, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I am excited to preach the Word of God. But today, we're going to be talking about having a passion for God's presence. Psalms 27:4 says this. This is King David, and he says, One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Let's pray. Father, I ask You, move through my life this morning. I need Your presence, oh God. I need Your anointing. Jesus, I ask that You would remove me. Speak through me. I pray that You would calm every anxiety and pierce through every spirit that would try to distract us this morning. And I ask that You would encourage our hearts to seek after You. And I ask that somebody this morning would feel the power of Your presence like never before. And God, we love You. We bless You. In Jesus' name, we all say, Amen. Well, this morning we are going to talk about having a passion for God's presence. Based on what the Word of God says, the Bible tells us that God desires for us to find Him. And I know that sometimes when we're going through trials or we're going through tough times in our lives, sometimes it feels like, God, where are You? Who's ever been there? Wave at me. Have you ever been in a place where you're like, God, I've done everything You want me to do, and I just don't understand why everything is falling apart? Wave at me this morning. Okay, good. I know who I'm talking to, and I'm not the only one. But there are times in our lives where everything's not going to be rosy. Everything's not going to be joyful. Walking with God is a journey, and there are seasons that you will experience when chasing God. But the good news is this, that in spite of the season that you're in, if you seek God according to the Word, according to Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. No matter what you go through or what season you are in life, if you seek God, you will find Him. And I love this scripture because here we kind of tap into David's mind and passion for God's presence. And David is a very unique character because David was not a perfect man by any stretch, yet God used this man to do great things for His honor and His glory. See, this scripture is so powerful because it gives us insight as to how David felt about God. And what really sticks out to me is when he says, "This only do I seek." Some translations say, "The thing I seek most is to dwell in the house of the Lord." In other words, what David was saying, what I want more in life is to be in your presence. See, that's good news for somebody. Because the answer to your problem is going to be found in his presence. Everything that you need will be found in his presence. If you are boggled with anxiety this morning, all you have to do is tap into God's presence and anxiety will flee. All you have to do when you're discouraged is seek God out. And when you find him, his presence will come upon you and joy will come up out of you. King David was passionate about his relationship with God. His passion for God was the difference in why God would use him in such a great way. And I say that, and I get encouraged when I read this, because when I look at the life of David, it gives me hope. Because God doesn't use perfect people. As a matter of fact, if you really study David's life, he cheated, he lied, he was a murderer, he even committed adultery. Yet this is the same man that God testified and said, "I have seen son of David, a man after my own heart, and I testify that he will do everything that I ask him." How is it that a man so messed up could be used of God so greatly? It's simple. He had a passion to pursue God. And listen to me, when you have a passion to pursue God, you can't stay the same. See, that's good news, because some of us, we sometimes approach the throne of God, or we come to church, and if you're anything like me, when I first started coming to church, I felt unworthy. I felt unclean. I felt like, what could I offer the Lord? What could I really do for his honor and his glory? I'm messed up. Come on, somebody. But when I found out that all I had to do was develop a relationship with God, when my heart came to the end of itself and I started seeking his face and not his hand, everything changed. Because there are a lot of people, they come to church and they're really not seeking the face of God, they're seeking the hand of God. They came because all hell is breaking loose and they say, "I need God to do something. It's time to go to church." Come on, somebody. Can I speak on some stuff? But church changes when you show up for no other reason but to know him. God desires to reveal himself to you. God desires to have an intimate relationship with you. See, David was passionate about his relationship with God. Psalms 27:8, he says this, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." You know those words, seek his face? What that speaks of, it speaks of the utmost intimacy. So what he was asking God, he said, "God, I want to be intimate with you. I want to know you. I want you to reveal your ways to me." See, when we approach God in this way, like any loving father playing hide and seek with their child, he comes, he grabs his child and embraces them. He begins to tell them how much he loves them. And I believe with all of my heart that if we are going to go to the next level or the next place with God, we have to develop a passion for God's presence, especially because the days that we're living in is evil. My God, the things that they put in cartoons nowadays, you literally have to screen what your children watch. Things that seem harmless, all you have to do is watch certain Disney movies, and I'm not throwing Disney under the bus, but my God, filled with sorcery and wickedness, and all of a sudden young girls want to, come on somebody. But the days that we're living in are evil. And what we need, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to help change lives, we are going to need the presence of God. See, what we're looking for is not men that are eloquent or women that are eloquent in their speech. We don't need man-centered sermons. We need God-centered sermons. We don't need to hear nice songs. We need to hear anointed songs. We don't need people that are puffed up with talent. We need broken people that say, God, I serve with my full dependence upon you. I want more of you. Use my life. That's what we need. We need people that are hungry for God, because we're living in a time where everything is fighting for our attention. The billboards, Twitter, your phone, constant has notifications. All you got to do is go to sleep at night and you have like 7 notifications. Come on, somebody. Some of you got like 28 because you got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got, come on, somebody. Texas. But we're living in a day where everything is fighting for our attention. And all along, God says, I need you to unplug. I just need you to come to my throne. I want you to separate yourself because I want to know you. I want to show you the things that I can do through your life. I want to love on you. I want to give you a breakthrough. I want to alleviate you from all your pain. I want to be able to just give you all that your heart desires, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. You got some people doing it all wrong. Got like 4 jobs. Come on, somebody. Trying to come up. Hello. And God says, you don't need to do that. All you have to do is seek my face. Because if you seek my face, you'll find my hand. I wish somebody would help me this morning. When my children look me in the eye and ask me for something, I'm like, what do you want, baby? I'll give you anything you want. Parents, come on, somebody. But when we seek God's face, we find his hand. But it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of motive. It's in the presence of God, when your world is upside down, that God will fix it. It's in the presence of God where joy will be found. See, David understood the power of God's presence in his life. There he made it his pursuit and main priority. Look at the person next to you and say, what are your priorities? Because what you spend most of your time on will testify of your priorities. We can say God is a priority, but we don't show up. We can say God is a priority, but if we don't read his word, someone say amen or oh my. Acts 13:22, this is what God said about David. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. See, David was a man who pursued God with all of his heart. Not half-fast, not part-time. It was his life's pursuit. And one of the things that we have to understand as believers, listen to me, you got to catch this morning. If you catch anything, catch this. You have access to the presence of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for the forgiveness of our sins, but his death also provided us with direct access to God's presence. Matthew 27:50-51 gets me excited. It says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock splits. The significance of the curtain being torn was that the wall that divided the people from God was now broken down. In other words, when he died, you and I have access to the power and presence of God. Because in the Old Testament, only a select few could go into the holies of holies. There was only a select few, but when Jesus died, he not only burned all the sins, but he said, I desire to know you, and I'm going to give you access to a holy God. All you have to do is seek me out, and you will find me. When I first came to the Lord, I didn't get what that meant, because people would tell me things like, you got to seek God. They would tell me things like, you got to learn to pray. You got to search the Bible. And I wasn't a churchgoer, so when I came in, I didn't understand what that meant. And that's what I want to talk about, because how do we enter the presence of God? That's a legitimate question. How do we enter into His presence? Well, first of all, you have to have the right atmosphere or the right climate. You know, here in Washington, Washington's climate is crazy. Come on, schizophrenic. Because only in Washington on Monday can you wear a puff jacket and on Tuesday rock shorts. Hello. Only in Washington do you have to look at your phone and the weather to figure out what you're going to wear that week. Wave at me. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that we would walk out and there would be frost on our windows. How many hate frost? Frost is like the devil. Come on, somebody. Especially when you slept in. Especially when you need to get somewhere and you need to wash it off. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. But do you know that in order for frost to appear, weather conditions have to be just right? When the humidity outside and the temperature are just right, frost will appear on your window. What's interesting about frost is that frost is made of millions of ice crystals formed from the moisture in the air. And what I found most interesting about frost is this. Catch this. They said that what is even, this is what it says. We simply cannot see frost until conditions are met. And this is what, when I was studying on this topic, a report said, a scientific report. It said this. One source described that scientists have discovered about the universal characteristics from patterns are everywhere in the world. And they say that these beautiful forms of crystals have existed forever outside in space, just waiting for a cool window pane and for a cold day to bring frost into visibility. These patterns are not exclusive to one land. They appear in all lands. They exist somewhere in the infinite treasuries of God and are instantly available anywhere the conditions are in alignment. It brings frost forth. All the components for frost are already present, and at any given time, they can exist, but they exist in another dimension. And I thought that was interesting, because if you parallel that to a spiritual truth, God is omnipresent. In other words, He's already here. He's already present. But we won't feel His presence until the atmosphere and climate are a perfect conditions. And there are some of us, we got to turn it up a little bit. And this is why we got to be hot. We got to be on fire for God. We can't be cold or lukewarm and expect God to show up. But something happens when somebody is burning on the inside. When somebody says, I got to get to church because I know God's going to show up. When they wake up in the morning and they say, God, show me your glory. And they live in expectation. God shows up. This is why I became a believer. This is why I became a Christian. This is why I chose to follow God. I didn't want to follow just any God. There are all sorts of gods out there. I needed to know that God was real. And it wasn't until I experienced the presence of God that I knew God was real. And there are some of you, God wants to reveal Himself to you, but you got to turn up. Come on, somebody. See, the problem is not that God is missing. The problem is we must be passionate enough to seek after Him wholeheartedly. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart. Seeking God with all of our heart, not just a piece of our heart. Seeking God with all of our heart, listen to me, it creates the perfect condition where God will show up. Now, how do we access the presence of God? I want to give you three things. And it's not limited to these three things, but according to Scripture, the Bible says this is what happens God will show up. Number one, we can experience God's presence when we are contrite and humble in spirit. Now I'm going to explain what that means. When we are contrite and humble in spirit. Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, the inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is contrite, humble in spirit." That's some heavy stuff. Because the Bible says God dwells in the high and holy places, but also with the one who is contrite and humble in spirit. You know what it means to be contrite? It literally means to be crushed and broken in spirit. This can be referred to as brokenness. And brokenness creates the right atmosphere for God to dwell in our lives. When you are broken before the Lord, you understand the ministry of mercy and grace operating in your life, and as a result, you serve Him wholeheartedly with gratefulness in your heart. When I start thinking of the mercy and grace that is evident in my life, I don't deserve what I have today. When I look at my past, I'm not happy with what I did, but oh, bless God that there is grace. There is a ministry where He gives me mercy. He gives me a second chance, and because of that, I am grateful and willing to serve. Psalms 51:16-7 says this, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." The presence of God is evident in a man and woman who is broken before the Lord. You ever see somebody and you're like, man, that is a man of God. That is a woman of God. Chances are they live in brokenness. They understand their need for God. When you are broken before the Lord, it speaks of your dependency on God for all things. And this is where, for me, man, you look at where we come from. When you look at what God has done, God has brought us so far. It's not because I did anything. It's not. Some of you look at us today, and I tell stories sometimes. I just showed somebody a picture. I had hair to the middle of my back. I look crazy. They're like, man, you look weird. Come on, somebody. They're like, you looked evil. And I was. But because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, I can live an abundant life. I can live life to the fullest. And I can serve Him wholeheartedly with the clear conscience. Listen to me. With the clear conscience. I know I'm not perfect, but I need Him. All right. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. When we develop a broken spirit, listen, God shows up. See, God's presence isn't limited to just Sunday morning service. Did you know that God can go home with you? God can show up right there in your living room. God can show up there in your closet. God can show up at your job site. God can show up when evil, who's ever walked this place and you just feel evil, right? This is what was behind when David said, "Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no man." Why? Because he understood the presence of God was with him. And if God be for him, who would be against him? God is fighting for you this morning. Some of you have to understand that he's already there. He just needs you to be broken in the right places. Secondly, in order to access the presence of God, did you know you can access the presence of God through the vehicle of prayer? Listen to what Deuteronomy 4:7 says. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray to Him? Man, in some senses, you know, prayer is it's unexplainable. I can't explain to you how it happens. I just know that when a man or woman separates themselves in prayer to seek His face, God has a tendency and track record of showing up. When I was learning to pray, again, people would tell me things like, you got to develop a prayer life. You got to develop the discipline of prayer. I didn't know what that meant. And I remember that I had come to a place in my life where I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't satisfied with how my life. I was coming to church Things were good. I was no longer running the streets, but things were good. And I wasn't doing bad things, but I wasn't satisfied in my heart. And I remember I said to myself, man, I want to know God. And I wanted him enough to where I said, you know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up at 6, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to put some music on. I'm going to pray. And I remember my dad had some prayer music, and it was Spanish worship. And I remember, man, I just put it on. And I got on my knees. And I simply started saying, God, I want to know you. I said, God, I just want to know you. I'm tired of just going in circles. And I begin to pray, and I just begin to pray, and I begin to pray a little more. And all of a sudden, something within me started saying, God, I want more of you. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit the room. I started weeping. I started crying. And I felt God speak to my heart. I began to feel the embrace of his presence. And when I walked in, I was a little discouraged. But when I came up out, I had joy. I had peace. And guess what? I couldn't wait for the next morning because I had experienced the presence of God. I had experienced the power of God. And that's why I went back into my prayer closet. So too many times, some of us, we get a touch from God. We go back out in the world, and the devil is great at getting you to forget your experience with God. This is why when you are stuck in your walk with God and you feel like you're on a spiritual treadmill, I get on my knees. I start praying these prayers. I say, God, remind me of what you brought me through. I say, God, show me your glory. Remind me what you did for my family. Remind me that you're all powerful. Bring to remembrance the scriptures, and it's there in the presence of God where I start weeping. And God reminds me when my parents were chronic alcoholics. He begins to remind me when my brother was slow speech. He begins to remind me when I had a broken heart, and today my father and my mother aren't chronic alcoholics. As a matter of fact, they just approached my father. Testimony. We knew God had called my dad. My dad was a chronic alcoholic. He was a man that, man, he would stand on the table and he would say, I'm God. He's crazy. I seen my mom stab my dad. Real deal. We used to call the cops when we were 4 and 5 years old because they would start fighting. You know how many times the cops took us in custody? I was blessed because I called my dad the other day. And my mom says, I'm so excited. Your dad needs to tell you something. Passes him the phone. He gets on the phone and he has this lump in his throat. He said, you know, we started going to church, and you know that God told me to move to Tracy, far away from where we lived. And he started going to a church, and he had sang at this church a year prior. And he said that the pastor pulled him into the room, and he said, you know, when you were here last year, I seen the call of God upon your life. You know what he told him? And now that you're coming back, the Lord spoke to me again. You're called to pastor. I want to personally work with you to help build a church. And it all started because my mother was a prayer warrior. She lifted us up in prayer. Listen, wife. I don't know where your husband's at, or listen, husband, I don't know where your wife's at, but if things seem rocky, you keep praying. You keep pressing. You keep believing, because at just the right time, when the climate and temperature is just right, when they are broken before God, God will come in like a flood and capture them. For the very first time, I had felt the presence of God. And listen to me, it was outside of the church. You know, in our house, I don't have a prayer closet. I flat out pray in the living room. I don't care who lives there. Come on, somebody. I don't care who walks in. I don't care who, we have people walking in and out, my kids, everything. But there's a purpose in that. Because I want God to be the center of my house. I want God to be there. I don't want to be limited to his presence just on Sunday morning. Are you with me? You give me 5 more minutes? Are you encouraged? Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says this, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. For some of us, God is just waiting for us to call and pray to him. And when we do that, God will show up and meet our every need. Number three. Another avenue we can access the presence of God is through worship. Someone say worship. Psalms 95, 1 and 2 says this. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Catch this. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. See, worshiping God through song is one way of worshiping God. Worship is not limited to song. It's not limited to instruments. Worship is a lifestyle. When we worship God, we are acknowledging, one, that he exists, his majesty, and all of his glory. So you can worship God anywhere. And I have found that when I begin to lift my voice unto the Lord, God somehow shows up. I have also found that when life is hard and I don't feel like singing and I lift my voice, that's when he shows up even stronger. This is why we sing praises and worship to God before every service. Psalms 102 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I have learned that worship is like a weapon. See, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not, but they're for pulling down strongholds. Some of you, this is going to be good for some of you this morning. Because worship is a weapon that confuses the enemy. You want to confuse your enemy? Just lift your hand and sing when all hell is breaking loose. When you shouldn't lift your hands and begin to say, God, I love, begin to sing some of the songs. Start walking, say, God is fighting for us. God, you got to sing those songs, not just in church, but something happens when people choose to worship God in the midst of their struggle. And I'll prove it to you. Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us of a time where Paul and Silas were evangelizing the city. And the Bible actually tells us that these men were severely beaten and then thrown into jail. Acts 16, 24 says this, when he received these orders, he put them in inner cells and fastened their feet in stocks. Some translation says shackles. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. People watch you, how you live, how you respond in the midst of your struggle. All you have to do is continue to worship him when everything is all bad. And listen to me, you will bring hope to somebody else. Let me finish. Verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, all prison doors flew open. Catch this. And everyone's chains fell off. When you're strong, listen, you got to be strong for someone else and worship even if everything is going good. Because guess what? In your worship, someone next to you is... shackles might be broken. Bondages are released. When you worship God, we stand on miracle working ground. This is why we got to develop worship in the house of God. We can't just come to the Lord. I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. Can I tell you some things? Can I confess some things to you? You sure? You know how hard it is to be up here like, God is fighting for us. I'm over here like this. I'm like, I'm getting it, boy. Me and my wife, we're like singing. And some of you are like this. I didn't feel God today. Did you hear that note? Did you hear how they messed up? Did you hear? Confessions of a Pastor, Volume 1. Come on, somebody. Right? Sitting there, just... Some of you guys just mad dog me. And I got a confession. Because if you mad dog me, I'm going to lock on to you and just smile. Be careful, because if you mad dog me, I might come up and be like, God is on our... You know, people often ask me, and I'm sure people wonder, Why is that pastor so excited when he's up there? Because if you know me, I'll come up here, I'll start dancing, I'll start moving, and you might think, well, why is he so happy? If you knew the hell God brought me out of, you would jump too. If you knew what it took to get me in the house of the Lord, if you knew what I had to go through to receive my calling, if you understood the victory, you would jump, you would shout, you would dance too. Some of you got to break out in singing. Some of you got to start lifting your hands, giving him the glory, and in your giving him the glory, he's going to break through. See, this year I made it a point in 2016. I wasn't going to let a rock out praise me. I wasn't going to let somebody else go before me. I wanted to make sure that even as the pastor, not because of show, but I wanted to take my worship to another level. I don't just sing here in the house of God. I sing everywhere I go. Man, I got to catch myself sometimes. I got to remember there's people around me. I was at the grocery store the other day. And I'm singing my little heart out. And I'm like, I give myself away. Oh, I give my... And I swear to you, everything went silent. And I was like... Keep the change. You want a breakthrough? Teach your family to worship, Father. Teach your family to worship. Don't limit worship to the house of God. Something happens. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, he is in the midst. And something great happens. And I want you to picture this for a second. I'm going to be ending. I want you to picture Paul and Silas. They were severely flogged. When people were flogged, they would get whipped by a whip. History shows us that it was a leather whip, had three cords, and it had bone. It had broken glass fastened to it, melted in. And what they would do is that they would whip them. But by law, they couldn't whip them more than 39 times. So, if you really want to do the math, if they received the maximum sentence, which most historians believe that they received the maximum flogging because it said they were severely beaten. It wasn't that they got hit 39 times. If there was three lashes on there, 39 times three were the markings on their back. Now catch this. After all of that, they sit there. They're fastened. Even in the midst of everything they're going through, they just sit there. And they begin to sing.